And this morning, I'm going to talk about reimagining your praise. Reimagine praise. Reimagine again means to imagine again. We're talking about new concepts. Everyone say new concepts, which means to recreate or form a new idea, approach, or method. And here's the key. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I know we're used to seeing gifts manifested on stage, especially in our culture and especially in charismatic churches. We're used to seeing the gifts on stage, but let me tell you how my gifts work. A lot of times when I'm operating the gifts, it's off this stage. That God has given me words of wisdom. God has given me words of knowledge that you would never know anything about. And how many know the supernatural life needs to be normal? It needs to be normal. Listen, it just doesn't happen on Sundays, but Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays. Listen, when we're praying and we're seeking God here on Wednesday night, God has given us, he's given us glimpses of what's to come. He's given us things to do, things to see. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God in us. And so we're talking about recreating or forming new ideas through the power of the Holy Spirit around an already existing idea, approach, or method. And the text for this entire series is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I love verse 10, but, everyone say but. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything. Everyone say everything. There's nothing that is hidden from God. There's nothing that is hidden from the Holy Spirit. He searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. How many know God has the keys to reaching our community? God has the keys to reaching your neighborhood. He has the keys to reaching your family. He has the keys to reaching the University of Pacific. God can reveal to us the deep secrets that are hidden from everyone else. Why? Verse 12, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, God's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things he has freely given us. Everybody say free. So they're free. The question I posed to you last week is, I wonder how many free things are available to us that we haven't taken advantage of. This morning, I'm talking to you about reimagine praise. I really believe there is a lost art of praise in the church. Let me first just start off by saying what I believe praise is not. Praise is not the warm-up exercise before the sermon. Praise is not limited to my music style of choice or my music preference. Praise is not the fast song. Praise isn't what gets you hyped up so you can make it through the service. Praise is not about you, it's about Jesus. Praise is not about our pleasure, but bringing him pleasure. To God be the glory. The primary word for praise in the Hebrew, there's seven words. I'm just going to share with you one, is halal. It's where we get the word hallelujah. And it means to shine, to rave, to praise, to boast, to be clamorously foolish. To act madly. How many know King David danced in his drawers? We're going to talk about reimagining praise, but before I do, I want to give you just a little bit of a foundation. A few years ago, I was getting ready to go to Phoenix and do some consulting with a church down there that was struggling, and anybody got a daily reading plan? You got it. You got one in the back of your Bible or you have it on your Bible app. I was in the midst of daily reading, and you know, I'm one of those guys that's like, I'm a rule follower. So like when I get to the genealogies, like I have to read them or it doesn't count. That's me, right? I get to the laws of Leviticus and like I can't skip over them because if I skip over them, it don't count, right? And so I was in Joshua 18 and 19 and just struggling because in Joshua you get to the Google Maps of the Bible. And can you put that up on the screen? And it was like this. The northern boundary of Benjamin's land began at the Jordan River, went north of the slope of Jericho, then west through the hill country in the wilderness of Beth-Aven. From the boundary went to South Luz, then as Bethel, and proceeded down to... You get the idea, right? And I'm just plowing, right? I'm just plowing, excited about the consultation that was coming up on the weekend. And I get to Joshua 19... Verse 1, and it says, the second lot came out for Simeon, for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families. And this phrase pops out to me. And their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. And then I was like, oh, that's interesting. Never seen that before. How many of you noticed something you haven't seen before when you do your daily Bible reading or you read it annually? And then I got to Joshua 19:9, and it said, the inheritance of the children of Simeon was included in the share of the children of Judah, for the share of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore, everybody say therefore. And I always taught when you seen a therefore, you got to find out why it's therefore, right? Or what it's there for. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of that people. That caused me to research and get a little background on Simeon. This is in your notes. Simeon was the second son of Jacob by Leah. You remember Leah and Rachel, a little bit of sibling rivalry there. And we see this story, Simeon being born in Genesis 29:33, and it says his name was Simeon, or what meant is, I am unloved. Simeon meant, I am unloved. Verse 29:33, then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. How many know names matter? It's probable that he spent, in my opinion, his entire life trying to be loved and accepted, trying to prove himself to his father Jacob and his brothers. His very name tells us that he was rejected and despised, as do the highlights of his life, as we see in Scripture reflect. Simeon was the kind of person that took things in his own hands. Unfortunately, that meant he took it out of God's hands. One of these incidents is highlighted in Genesis 34, and I'm not going to go there. We don't have time. But when Simeon's daughter, or sister Dinah, was sexually assaulted by Prince Shechem, Simeon and his brother Levi took justice in their own hands. They deceitfully persuaded Hamor and Shechem to have all of their men circumcised. And here's the thing you have to understand. They used a holy ordinance of circumcision and covenant to express their vengeance and commit mass murder. It was an evil thing to do. And when Jacob heard about it, Simeon's dad, Jacob, when he heard about it, he was both angry and frightened. And Jacob never forgot about it. It always stuck with him. Simeon, again, just a review of his life, he was that brother who could never catch a break. In fact, you might remember when Jacob sent his sons to Egypt to buy some grain. Joseph recognized his brothers. He threw them all in prison for 3 days. And then he kept Simeon captive until they returned with their brother Benjamin. Now, I believe the brothers came to this conclusion. Thinking back to Genesis chapter 34, I believe they said, you know what? Dad is already upset with Simeon. So if we tell him he's in prison, he's going to be okay. That's what I believe. It kind of makes sense if you read his whole biography. Then in Genesis 49, Jacob gathers all his 12 sons to bless them. I'm going somewhere with this. Are you guys still with me? Genesis 49, Jacob gathers all 12 sons to bless them and to tell them, the scripture says, what will happen to them in days to come. And so they're lined up. Jacob is giving out blessings, but Simeon didn't actually get a blessing on that day. He got a wake-up call from his father. Genesis 49, 5 and 7, and I'm just going to read verse 7 for the sake of time, but he says, "Cursed," talking about Simeon and his brother Levi, "cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them, the tribe of Simeon, in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel." Here's what I want you to see. It was Jacob's intention to bless his sons, but he had to tell them the truth. It says in 49 verse 28, "And he blessed them, he blessed each one according to his own blessing." He wanted to bless Simeon and Levi, but he couldn't just tell them what they wanted to hear. He had to tell them the truth of what was going to come if they didn't change their ways. How many know sometimes we've got to be unconditional in our love? We have to apply tough love. Come on, not to comfort people, but to make them uncomfortable sometimes. How many of you understand it's the Father's intention to bless us with his promises, but we have a choice what to do with the truth the Holy Spirit reveals to us. In this case, the curse Jacob spoke was conditional. In other words, it could be reversed. How many know we serve a God who specializes in reversing the curse? He can reverse the curse. And this, what seemed is like, man, he was just there to get a blessing. What seems to be a curse might have been a blessing in disguise, because I believe it woke something up inside of Simeon. You see, not every word you're going to get is going to give you goosebumps, but it could cause you to reimagine some things about your life. See, if you keep going down that road, it's going to look like this, right? If you keep making poor choices, it's going to have a negative impact, and you're going to end up like this. If you don't deal with your anger issues or that bitterness or those disappointments, you're going to hit a wall at some point in your life. Again, I'm just giving you a summary of Simeon and then his tribe. And lastly, the tribe of Simeon was decreasing. It seemed to be living up to the blessing or the curse that his father had spoken over him. We actually see what Jacob spoke over him coming to pass, and I call it the law. It's in your notes there, of subtraction. The law of subtraction is a divine decrease that develops a greater trust and faith in God. Simeon, the Bible says, was divided and scattered. These are facts. Everyone say facts. They gradually dwindled in number and sank into a position of insignificance among the other tribes. They decreased in the wilderness by about two-thirds. In fact, when you read about the tribe of Simeon in Numbers chapter 1, verses 23, their population was 59,300. But the time you get to Numbers 26, verse 14, they are dwindled down to 22,200. And then to top that, Moses pronounces no blessing on this tribe. It is passed by in silence in Deuteronomy chapter 33. So, quickly, if we summarize Simeon's life, we see a life that is overlooked and unloved, angry and frustrated with the relationship with his father, a guy who can't catch a break, who's always drawing the short straw. Anybody ever been there? And then we see a legacy being erased from history. And I would say that there's some of us here today that can relate to that kind of life. You currently can't see God anywhere in your story. And I just want to encourage you today. It's time to reimagine your story. It's time to allow Jesus to reverse the curse. You see, some of us are trying to prove ourselves. Some of us are taking things like Simeon did in his own hands. Others feel like we can't catch a break. Many of us have prophetic words that we're overthinking and overanalyzing. And like Simeon, God has made... may have you in a season of decrease. Can I talk about a season of decrease for just a moment? This is in your notes. There's always decrease before the increase. John chapter 3, John the Baptist's disciples are concerned that everyone is going to Jesus to be baptized now, and they're in the middle of an argument with the Jews about purification. Verse 27, chapter 3, verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Everybody say, that's increase. Verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. You see, we must be like John and recognize when it is and when it's not our season. Listen, don't fight the decrease. Listen, because Jesus wants to increase in your life. The very thing you may be resisting may be the very thing God uses to get you in the right place. A while back, a friend of mine here in town, if I told them the family's name, everybody in this room, I believe, would know their name. They're on a major platform now. But about 6 years ago, that wasn't the case. They were laid off from their church position, and they were frantically, you know, it came unexpectedly. They were frantic, and they sent a few texts out to some friends, and I got the text, and it said, we want to stay in Sacramento. We're looking for an opportunity. And, you know, I actually got right on it. I actually interviewed them, and it didn't happen, didn't work out. And that opportunity that they were hoping that would materialize in Sacramento never happened because they realized the decrease was on purpose for a purpose. And they got in a place where they opened themselves up to whatever God had. And again, if I told you this family's name, you know them. God has promoted them now because they allowed that decrease to come. God has now promoted them beyond anything they could have imagined. They're in a better living situation, church situation, financial situation, ministry situation. God is blowing them up because they allowed the decrease, come on, in the natural, and they allowed Jesus to increase in their spiritual lives. They didn't fight the decrease. Listen, your decrease will lead you to increase if you don't resist it. I've got 11 minutes and I'm going to get done, believe me. That was the foundation of my message. Joshua 19:1. The second lot came out for Simeon for the tribe of the children of Simeon according to their families. And their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. Why is that important for us as we reimagine praise? This morning, Judah means, now will I praise. In other words, without entering into Judah, without entering into praise, the tribe of Simeon was destined for insignificance. But when the tribe of Simeon stepped into Judah, when the tribe of Simeon stepped into praise, everything changed. The tribe of Simeon had to take time to reimagine. They had to shift their mindset from I am unloved to now will I praise him. Some of you have to make that shift in here today. You have to go, listen, from that mindset. Listen, oh, nothing good ever happens to me. You've got to step into now will I praise him. You've got to go from, listen, there's always problems popping up in my work or in my career. You've got to change gears and shift your mindset and step into praise and say, now will I praise him. You say, I'm battling sickness. There's always something come against my... You've got to go, I'm always sick. And you've got to step into praise. And you've got to say, now will I praise him. Listen, God wants to take you from your pity party to a praise party. Leads me to my first point. When you and I enter into praise, there is a supernatural shift. Come on, we're not just singing songs here on Sunday morning. In fact, it is my desire, listen, that every time we come together, we sing what God is saying. We're not just singing what's the number one song on the Billboard charts, but we're actually writing songs, what God is doing in our body, what God is doing here at Real Life Church, so that when we're singing, come on, we're prophesying too. We're declaring to God what he's doing in this church and what he's going to do in this community and how he's going to heal our land and what he's going to do in the greater region of Sacramento. You see, when you and I enter praise, your mind can change. Your circumstances can change. Your perspective can change. And your life can change. The tribe of Simeon appeared to be outside the blessing, but praise brought him into Judah's abundance. Praise will always give you access, listen, to whatever God wants to increase in our life. Listen, it's so important that I'm reclaiming that word abundance. I know when you say abundance, everybody goes right to finances, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about every spiritual blessing that is available to us in Christ Jesus. His love for us, His mercy, His grace, His compassion, His patience, His loving kindness. That is the abundant life that He wants to release to us. Praise will always give us access to whatever God wants to increase in our lives. Leads me to my second point. Praise can help us to overcome our feelings of insignificance and release faith that brings us into our inheritance. What is our inheritance? It's His presence. Sunday mornings is not about performance. Sunday mornings is not about our excellence. It's about His excellence. It's about His power. Listen, if God doesn't show up, how many know this service is a wreck? Coming in, I turned on the light. Everything came on when I got here. Walked in, looked like a disco, right? But no. God's presence is here. Listen, I'm with a group of people that decided to stick around and get their praise on. That despite the darkness, despite the technical difficulties, I got some people that just stuck around. I'll say, I'm just going to see what happens. Some of you are like, I'm just going to see how he handles this. Pastor Jesse said, I'm just cool, calm, and collected in the inside. I just learned how to pray in the Holy Ghost. You say, I'm cool, calm, and collected. I'm like, shun-da-da-da-ba-shu-da-ba-ka. I'm praying that Adam would get here in 5 minutes. That's what I was doing. You see, our inheritance is His presence. God with us, God for us, who can be against us? Listen, the anointing on our lives is the mark of the Holy Spirit's presence abiding in our lives. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important for us to understand and grasp. It confirms, listen, the baptism of the Holy Spirit confirms what already is happening on the inside of you. God wants you and I to live with a greater awareness of the inheritance of His presence. Leads me to my third point. I only got seven today. Praise lifts us above the facts of our circumstance and into the reality of His abundance. You see, our significance will never be found outside of His presence. Our inheritance will never be discovered outside of His presence. The abundance of who He is will never be grasped outside His presence. You know, this week, I needed a faith lift. Anybody ever need a faith lift before? I needed a faith lift. Somebody had spoken some negative things, and you ever just like, it just kind of stuck on you? It just kind of stuck on me. I couldn't shake it. I was talking about it. I told my wife about it. I couldn't shake it. And so last Monday morning, if you don't know, pastors go through these things called Monday morning blues. So I got out God's blues. Come on. I got out my iPad, and I put in Todd Delaney. We all good? I put in my earbuds and went downstairs. Travis Green, that's who it was. Put it in and cranked it up. Amy thought I'd went and worked out. And I started saying, what my eyes can't see, I still believe. Everything spoken to me, there's no word that can come back void. I will trust the report of the Lord. God is not a man that He should lie. Every need He will supply. I will wait. I will not be moved. I believe. I will trust in You. By that time, I was dancing and making, bumping into walls and all kinds of things. And then I went into the next verse, and while I'm waiting, I'm getting stronger, and oh, now I'm jumping, right? My faith is rising, and I'll run while I'm waiting. I'm lifting up on wings as eagles. I believe I will trust in you. And I'm dancing, and all of a sudden the door opens. She said, I thought you went and worked out. I said, I am working out. I'm working out my faith muscles. I got to get my praise on today. Listen, like the tribe of Simeon leads me to my fourth point. We must reimagine praise as God's strategy to get us from where we are at to where he's calling us to be. You see, it's a decision you and I have to make. Maybe it seems like your life is scattered and not adding up too much. But listen, today you're stepping into Judah. Today, you're stepping into praise. Listen, when that negative thought comes to you, listen, you got to do like I did on that Monday morning. Just say, now will I praise. Listen, if it doesn't go away on Monday, listen, on Tuesday, you got to step into praise and say, now will I praise. We've got to be consistent in our praise. It's a decision we have to make. No one can take you to Judah. No one can force you to praise Jesus, just like no one can force you to Jesus. It's a decision that says, now will I praise. Everybody just say that. Now will I praise. I got to verse 9, and it says the inheritance, Joshua 19:9, the inheritance of the children of Simeon was included in the share of the children of Judah. For the share of the children of Judah, I love this, was too much for them. It was too much. I love this verse because ultimately it's a picture of what Jesus Christ has given us. You see, outside of Christ, there's no hope of an inheritance, but with Christ, amen? But in Christ, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and we have an inheritance. Ephesians 1, verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order, listen to this, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. That's why we sing, our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. You see, through Judah, through praise, Simeon encountered the God of more than enough. That's what praise does. You see, when you live in praise, there's always enough for others. It just pulls people in. Now, I had a friend, Amy and I had a friend named Johnny Jones. I didn't know much about it. At the time I was a pre-Christian. That means I wasn't a believer. Then I got saved, and Johnny Jones was just high energy, energizer bunny guy, bouncing off the wall. Okay, but he was also an awesome athlete. And we'd be playing pickup basketball with Johnny, and like he'd hit a bucket, and he'd say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'd be like, man, that dude is weird, you know, chasing him down the court. I mean, we would just be hanging out. And then we'd be like, oh, man, that's cool. He'd be like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We're like, man, you are weird, bro. You are weird. Then I met his mom, and I knew where it came from. When you went to Johnny Jones' house, it didn't matter who you were, what you looked like. It didn't matter your background. It didn't matter. When you walked in the entryway, you got greeted with a praise the Lord, hallelujah. It was like a hallelujah, praise the Lord. You see, Johnny's mom, her praise just pulled you in. And listen, that's what happens when we become a people of praise. Listen, people are attracted to you. Why? Because you're saying, now will I praise. And people are attracted to people who praise God. Leads me to my fifth point. Praise doesn't minimize your mountain. It magnifies the God who can move them. You see, Judah's too much was just enough for Simeon. Listen to this. Judah's too much was just enough for Simeon. They inherited. Simeon, remember, he wasn't even in the honorable mention list at this point. They inherited 14 cities and 1,000 square miles. How many of you could use a little bit of someone else's too much? You see, that's the thing about praise. It creates a place for you. Come on, when life is squeezing in on you, Listen, when you're feeling drained, when life seems to just be getting sucked out of you, listen, that's when your hands need to just go up. That's when you need to put in the earbuds. Listen, that's when, listen, God told me one time, he said, turn up the volume of your praise so you could drown out the volume of your problems. That's where we have to be with this. Why? Because praise is the language of faith. It's the language of faith. Leads me to my sixth point. Praise creates a space for you. When you're feeling like there's no place, praise creates a space. The Lord has brought you here to Real Life Church, and I'm closing because that's too much for Amy and I alone. One commentary I read said what Judah received was too much for them to handle, more than they needed. When I read that, I thought, God never gives you more than you can handle. Instead, he calls people alongside of you to help you handle it. And that's why you're here this morning. That's why you didn't leave when the lights went out. Psalm 16, verse 6 says, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. My last point, praise invites you to the front lines of the battle. Listen, I do sense God extending an invitation to us as a tribe, as a church, to up our praise. To realize we're not just singing, but we're fighting for something. As you wrap up the book of Joshua, you turn to Judges 1, verses 1 and 4. And I'm just going to read verse 3. It says, so Judah, I love this. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. Then Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they killed 10,000 men at Bezek. Listen, praise will promote you. The Lord will fight your battle. The tribe of Simeon, listen, Simeon and the tribe of Simeon, they go from forgotten to the front lines. How many know you haven't been forgotten? You've been strategically placed. You see, praise is not only, it not only invites you to the battle. Come on, it helps you fight your battles. And this morning, I want to encourage you, will you stand with me? 1 Chronicles 12, verse 25 says, the sons of Simeon, again, remember, they were just about to get erased from the history books. It says, the sons of Simeon, mighty men of valor, fit for war, 7,100. 7,100, but still mighty. Amen. Will you just lift your hands for a moment? I've only held you 5 minutes extra. But will you just lift your voice for just a moment? Again, praise is not a song necessarily, but just a declaration of who he is. Can you just praise him right now for who he is? God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you for who you are. God, we praise you, God, that you're the King of Kings. God, we praise you, God, that you're the Lion of the tribe of Judah. God, today we say, now will I praise you. God, I'm making a shift. God, I'm making a transition. God, I'm leaving this place and I'm going to this place. Now will I praise you. Come on. Now will I praise you. Can you just tell them, now will I praise you. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray as our hands are lifted and our voices are lifted, I pray every chain, God, of disappointment, every chain, God, of darkness and depression would fall off in Jesus' name. God, just shake off those heavy bands for a moment. Come on. That thing that's stuck on you, that negative comment that's stuck on you. Come on, just shake that off right now. And just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, that you're moving me, God, from an unloved place to a place of praise. God, I worship you. God, I thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can we just give the Lord a shout and a clap?